Hello and welcome to everybody listening. This is Balancing the Act, a podcast that focuses on how you manage your job and make sure you travel. In this podcast, you will hear stories from people who were willing to take a leap of faith and believe in their ideas. Each podcast will leave you educated and leave you with a unique life lesson.
Hello and welcome to Balancing the Act. Today I am with Chandni Davra. She's a dancer during the day, a pianist at night, a Harvard graduate of 2020, and a digital strategist for WWE South Asia. Hi Chandni, welcome to Balancing the Act.
Hi Kevin, thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
So Chandni, because you are a recent graduate of 2020 and also have a lot of experience in your work life, what makes work fun for you?
I work as a digital strategist in the media and entertainment industry, and what makes it fun for me is the fact that there is no linear way to get ahead. It is like this wild ride that you are on. You don't know what you're going to be thrown into next, and I can say this from many projects and jobs that I have been a part of, right from Disney to being on the sets of Big Boss, curating digital content to handling live streams for a music festival, and now getting the opportunity to travel the world with WWE and promoting the wrestling content and the superstars. I have no single year that has been the same. And the reason I have been able to have this crazy amount of versatile experience is because I've always kept moving without being fearful of taking any chances. I would say that having that sort of newness in every project makes work a lot of fun for me, but it definitely comes with its fair share of hard work and immense stress. I keep telling my friends I wasn't able to enjoy a music festival while I was working for it. When I left the job and attended as a festival goer, I was able to fully immerse myself in that experience.
How was your travel or your, journey to the Harvard University? Like, people really look up to people who go to Harvard. So how was this journey?
I'm just going to say that I got this opportunity firstly because of WWE. They have a continuing education, sort of push their employees to continue learning, continue growing. And they, of course, funded the degree to quite an extent. And to enter Harvard also, I had to study a lot. I almost had to shut off myself for an entire year to even get into the university. So almost after so many years of work experience, you wouldn't really think of getting a degree. Your work experience sometimes speaks volumes. But yeah, sometimes when I was studying for it, I was just thinking to myself, do I really need to do this? Because I was studying and I was working at the same time. It's not like I had, the option of leaving my full-time job. So I studied hard when I found out that I have been accepted to the university. Harvard has been a real life changer. It was larger than life experience, and no amount of reading about it or hearing about people's experiences can prepare you for what you're about to experience firsthand. I was very fortunate to have WWE fund my master's there. And to an extent, I was also juggling work and study for 3 years, switching back and forth between Mumbai to Stamford, where WWE's headquarters are, and Cambridge in Massachusetts, where the university campus is. And when you get there, it is surreal for the first few days. The campus, the history, the heritage, the legacy of people who studied there, right from George Bush to Bill Gates to Zuckerberg. So there is this immense heaviness you feel to prove yourself when you're there as well. Because literally every student you meet on campus, feel like extraordinary people with extraordinary backgrounds. But once all of that settles and you are in that bubble, you slowly start to realize that it actually doesn't feel as what people make it out to be. Once you do actually settle, on the campus and you are inside that bubble, you slowly start to realize that it actually feels just as you would, in any other place, the curriculum, all of that is sort of like standardized, if you may. So you're learning, you're definitely learning from professors that are arguably the best in the world, but even they are the most humble and at times determined to teach you without any sort of frills. Now, so the whole 3 years just felt like a normal academic experience. And what is great about the whole Harvard experience is that you develop a lifetime of network globally with friends and professors who become such an important part of your life, and they are there for you even after you've graduated. So from an academic point of view, it was pretty straightforward. It was business and management. All I'm going to say is that the degree does help you see the world from a very different lens, and of course made a massive difference in how I approached work, increased my competence to an unimaginable level. So I'm just going to say that hard work was all worth it at the end after I earned my degree.
Okay, because this podcast talks about travel and how you balance both work and travel, any travel that has made you realize who the real you is?
Well, I have had quite many experiences, but the one that really, really changed my life, I would say, was my travel to Paris. I was just on a work trip to Amsterdam for the music festival that I work for, Supersonic. And I was in Amsterdam for an event, and I just took a detour. I went to Paris once my work was done, and I'm also a dancer. I have been trained in contemporary dancing and Adel Silk. So I just had this instructor who I had been following for almost 10 years, watching her videos and watching her work on YouTube and taking that, you know, those passive lessons from her. So I just saw that she's doing this workshop, and I was like, okay, I am very close to where she is, and I would probably want to just like take this opportunity to take this, do this workshop with her. Yeah, so I did that, and that was, I didn't realize what a huge impact it would make on me, because it was like I was watching this person, I was starstruck watching her and learning from her, and that was sort of, you know, had like this entire paradigm shift inside of me, because at the heart of it, I love dancing. That's who I am. That's also a huge part of my personality. So that's what spoke to my soul, and it's something that I would not, forget. In fact, what I would like to say, since you asked about a travel life-changing experience, is that a lot of people say skydiving or, going to a certain place is life-changing. I did do that, actually. It's a funny story. I did skydiving as well, and this was way before I even took this Paris trip. And when, this whole sort of hype about like, oh my God, do skydiving, and it sort of became a thing in around 2016, 2017, where everybody is like, if you haven't done skydiving, you've like missed out on a big thing. So I was on a trip to Prague with a couple of my friends and colleagues, and they suddenly decided to do this entire, skydiving trip. And I almost went with them, but they actually ended up doing skydiving and I did not. So I was made to feel so sort of like left out because of that they were talking about the whole experience. So I got back from Prague, back to India, and then it just played a lot on my mind. I was like, how was I not able to do it? Like, what a loser could I be? And, it was a life-changing experience. How would I have known what, it would have changed for me had I actually done my skydiving? So yeah, it just played on me for like so long that the next opportunity that I got, I was traveling to LA in just about a year or something. And I was like, okay, I have this spot where I can do skydiving. Now I'm not going to miss this opportunity, because I had this real sort of, feeling that I missed out big time. So this time in LA, I actually sort of found out a good school, a good skydiving, place, and I did it. Now, I'm not going to say that it wasn't a great experience. It was a fantastic experience, but I can say that it is so overrated. If you ask me, did it change my life? I would say not even a little bit. I would just say that I just jumped off a plane. It was like a massive adrenaline rush for me. It was fun, but if you ask me if I'm going to do it again, I'm just going to say no. It's not something that speaks to me as a person. Like my previous experience that I said, much later when I would go to do that workshop in Paris, that was something that was a lot more life-changing for me than I would think. So I think the takeaway message from this is that anybody traveling, don't go by your standard universal checklist of like what makes a life-changing experience on a travel. You have to just look within yourself. Who are you as a person? What brings you alive? What brings out the fire in you? And that is something you have to pick. I mean, if you're a adventure junkie, then of course skydiving is for you.
What about a favorite person to travel with? Like, I know a lot of people do solo travels, a lot of people do travel with their family, but you as a person, what do you feel, and who's the person that you're most comfortable traveling with?
I don't have just one. I'm just going to say that when I did my entire Europe trip, this was in 2017. So it was just me and my cousin who just like took off. And we just very crazily made up this entire itinerary of like an entire month. And that was probably one of the best travel buddies for me. I didn't realize how much fun I would end up having with her, because she was this crazy, restless all the time person who wanted to, you know, keep doing, you know, like something or the other every time. And I was a calmer one doing all the planning and, you know, going on the flow and pacifying her. So we were almost like yin and yang. I think having that sort of, you know, her being the crazy one and me being the sort of like go with, be organized and, you know, like stuff like that. So yeah, so I think we made like she made a good travel partner for me. Another good travel partner for me has been Galen. She is the official host for WWE in India, and we also happen to be school friends. And I love traveling with her because there is never a dull moment doing any sort of crazy work travels with her, right from, you know, places like a Varanasi to Amritsar to going to New York. Any place just for me just lights up because she's there, and work is not as stressful when she's around. And like, we also make a great team when we work together. So yeah, and although I haven't gotten too many opportunities to travel with my boyfriend, of course 2020 ruined a lot of our wishful plans. I'm really looking forward to doing some more traveling with him, hopefully in the next year.
Apart from this, is there any life lessons that you've learned in your travel? It could be a very small trip, like you mentioned, to Varanasi or maybe to New York because of, you know, the different travels that you've done. But anything that you've taken away from any sort of travel that you've done in the past couple of years? I understand this year is not the travel year, but in the past. And if you want to go for, what would be your next, you know, trip like?
Since you mentioned about solo travel, what I'm going to say, and I know this whole sort of thing about solo travel also, one of the most important lessons I would say is, first of all, even before talking about solo traveling, just talking travel in general, most important lesson is that don't worry about money in your 20s and early 30s. Aggressively grab every opportunity you get to travel, be it for work or just, you know, personally exploring. It may feel like too much in the moment, but nothing makes for better memories than disconnecting from your daily environment and placing yourself in a whole different sort of environment. Yeah, and then coming to solo travel, this whole idea about traveling alone to find yourself sounds very cliche because it's just like so much, now people are just talking so much about it, but I'll break it down. The reason you should do solo travel is because when we are in our normal day-to-day, we are constantly trying to be someone depending on who it is around us, be it friends, family, colleagues. You get used to being a certain way with them for months and years, not realizing who would you actually be when you're with a complete stranger in a different city or a country. But the hidden parts of your personality that you didn't even know existed suddenly start to show up when you're not in your daily, day-to-day environment. So it is important to get to know that side of you. And that is quite liberating. So it's okay, just travel with, you know, with one person, but have that sort of, find a way to sort of cut your daily things that are like things and places that are a part of a daily part of your life, and just throw yourself in a completely unknown, scary, different place, and then see how you react to those sort of environments. And that's when you really sort of find yourself, as people call it.
Great. I want to know, because you've traveled solo, you've traveled with friends, but what are you most grateful for? Is there anything that during your travels you realize that life in Mumbai is so much better, or life in America was so much better? Is there anything that you're really grateful for with all of these experiences that you've had?
Specifically, since you're asked about being grateful for the place, I would just say that though I have traveled to so many places, I mean, right since I was 18, I've been traveling. And safe to say that I have covered a lot of countries, a lot of places, but I have always felt homesick, and I've always wanted to come back to Mumbai. Like, even if I've been in, like, I think in 2011, I traveled to London. I stayed there for almost a month and was my cousin's, you know, wedding. So although London is a beautiful place to be in, I like never for a moment I thought I don't want to go back home, or this is it, like, you know, this is, or I felt sad to like go back home. no matter where I am in whatever part of the world, like home is home for me. And I've always felt like beyond a month, I've not been able to stay around anywhere. Even when I was at university, even when I was at Harvard, to spend consistently 3 or 4 months there at a time, 6 months at a time. But yeah, I have always longed to come back home. And I think I'm grateful for the fact that a place like Mumbai makes me feel like that, no matter whatever people keep talking about, how crazy and this entire city is. I think I'm very grateful for the fact that I have found a grounding in the city and no other place matches up to it. And, this is my home, probably will be for the longest time. And the other thing that I'm really grateful for is that I've been raised by a single mother. She didn't try to stop me from taking any sort of wild rides right since I was, since I was 18 when I started traveling. That is probably what made me so strong and fearless in doing anything that my mind could possibly conceive. It's just very easy for parents, and especially for a single parent, to like become so protective that, they just sort of stop you from with the fear of, whether they're going to be okay or not. But she just almost like encouraged me to have these experiences and keep exposing myself to all of this. So I think that's another thing that I'm very grateful for.
Super. Channi, I loved your take on how you want to go and conquer the world. Even with all the hustle and bustle in Mumbai, you still love Mumbai. And I'm very grateful for living in a place like this, because when I go and travel, I see people, how difficult it is for them even to get a bus to school, or they have to walk kilometers to reach school. And for us, all of this was so easy to do and other stuff like that. But because you are, very into the digital strategy part of things, what do you think is, the future of social media and the trends that you can see and the next big thing on the internet?
Since we are discussing travel, I'm going to say that you can't ignore that social media has been an absolute game changer in the tourism industry. It's been massively influencing people's decision when it comes to picking a travel destination, be it, watching posts of their friends traveling to that place or country. I remember when I was in Finland and when one of my friends saw my pictures posing with these huskies, at the Arctic Circle, she immediately, and I kid you not, immediately booked her trip for the next month to travel to Finland, because that's how much she fell in love with all the experiences that I was having and the stuff that I was talking about on my social media. So that's the power of social media. And this important statistic I had just come across is that almost 86% of people said that they become interested in specific location after seeing content from other people. And I mean, stuff that impacts right from decisions of like which hotel or resort they choose to stay in when traveling. Sometimes we like tag certain locations and posts or use a hashtag or something, and it's being subconsciously noticed. So it's almost like a huge chunk of your following that actually are getting influenced, whether you know or whether you don't. So yeah, and because of that, you're going to see the tourism business, including hotels and tourist spots, and even an entire country having social media accounts promoting themselves as the best place to visit. And seriously, considering people with huge social media following to promote them, to tag them and make it a word of mouth thing. So it is a very simple strategy, but whoever have been the early adopters of this have benefited in unimaginable ways. And I'm also going to say that travel has always been social. If you think about it from before even social media existed, travel has been social. Not just simply traveling with friends and family, but sharing our entire travel experiences with others. Like before social media, we had organized photo albums and slideshows. We would want to show it to our friends. Now that have been replaced by blogs and Instagram posts and all that. But like I said, at the heart of it, it's always been a social experience. You want to talk about it, you want to tell people about it. Social media has just made it easy to do that. So I think it's going to continue, and it is only going to get bigger. And things that we have, it is beyond our thinking capacity at this point. You never know how it is going to shape up in the future. But yeah, I think travel and social media are never going to be separate from each other.
Superb. Channi, thank you so much for, taking out the time speaking to me about the workshops that you did on your travel, and how you feel that even travel cannot be like a one size fits all. I'm definitely going to use your final tip on, getting more tags in place. and also making sure that the community benefits in the long run. So I run Backpacker Me, a website, which is also a blog that, you know, helps other people read about other people's travel. So it's not only about me and my travel, it's about anybody's travel.
Thank you. I'm glad we had a great discussion, and I'm very happy for how your platform is going to shape up, and I look forward to all the exciting things that you're going to be doing with that.
This podcast is brought to you by Backpacker Me, Instagram handle @BackpackerMe. Follow, share.